Paranormal, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. The 13 Crystal Skulls. From the moment Europeans first set foot on what they would eventually call the Americas, their plundering was insatiable. Latin America and its riches crossed the Atlantic to enrich a few powerful people. Land, resources, forests, animals, and humans were either exploited on the spot or brought back to Europe. By the 19th century, pre-Columbian art, too, had become very popular among European art collectors and museums, all the more so when it carried mysterious legends from ancient times. So, a new form of theft emerged. Whether they wore the garb of the archaeologist or the adventurer, or both, many were those Europeans who crisscrossed the Americas in search of treasures that they could sell in the Old World. Europe wanted Inca vases, Aztec jewelry, and crystal skulls? Well, it was going to have them, with a legend on top. In the late 19th century, a rumor starts spreading among pre-Columbian art enthusiasts. It concerns a set of 13 crystal skulls, hidden somewhere during the Spanish conquest of Mexico. When the skulls are reunited, the legend goes, the Aztec Empire will be reborn. Some people also claim that bringing together the 13 crystal skulls will open the gates of supreme knowledge about the origin and the future of humanity. They claim that the skulls passed through the Atlanteans, the Mayans, and then the Aztecs, who used them in their rituals for their extraordinary powers. Indeed, these skulls can not only speak and sing, they are the repository of vital information recorded in the crystal as if in the memory of a computer. Europeans are aware of this legend when the skulls appear on the art and antique markets. The year is 1878, and the French explorer Alphonse Pinard has donated an Aztec crystal skull to the Musée d'Ethnographie du Trocadéro in Paris, which has just been founded and will eventually become the Musée de l'Homme. The skull measures 4.3 inches and weighs just over 6 pounds. It is translucent and in one block. The top of the skull is pierced, probably to receive a crucifix. It is believed that this masterpiece of Aztec art represents the god of death, Mictlantecuhtli. The Musée de l'Homme can be proud. It is the very first skull of this kind to enter a museum. Then, in 1890, Eugène Bobin, remember this name, tries to sell a crystal skull to the Smithsonian Institution in Washington. He claims to have bought it from a Mexican mercenary. In 1898, another Aztec crystal skull is exhibited at the British Museum in London, who bought it from the famous New York jeweler Tiffany's. Tiffany's, in turn, had bought it from that same Eugène Bobin, after he'd failed to sell it to the Smithsonian. Recent analyses have revealed that the skulls in the Musée de l'Homme and the British Museum were fakes, made in Germany from Brazilian quartz. They passed into the hands of the French antiquarian, Eugène Bobin. Many pre-Columbian pieces sold in France in the second half of the 19th century passed through him. In 1875, Bobin sold nearly 2,000 objects, including a crystal skull, to the explorer Alphonse Pinard, who gave them to the Musée d'Ethnographie du Trocadéro in 1878 for its opening. The skull then passed to the Quai Branly Museum, where it remains but is no longer exhibited. The one in the British Museum is now presented with this text. This crystal skull dates from the late 19th century. It was previously thought to be Aztec, but recent research proves that it is of European origin. According to research by a German engraver, the mysterious skulls were made near Idar-Oberstein, a village a few miles from the Idar-Steinkahlenberg mines. For 5 centuries, they've been producing semi-precious stones and crystals. When Wilfried Rosendahl, curator of the Reichs-Engelhorn Museum in Mannheim, organized an exhibition on the cult of skulls across time and continents, he turned to a workshop in Idar. He wanted a replica of one of the famous crystal skulls. He learned from one of the sculptors at the workshop that in the mid-19th century, Idar artisans traveled to Milan and Paris to learn the latest techniques for engraving and polishing rock crystal. Back home, they perfected their art in order to meet the orders of foreign amateurs, of which Eugène Bobin was one. He was the first person to put crystal skulls on the market. In addition, crystallographic studies have shown that the skulls were cut from Brazilian rock crystal blocks. Written records show that crystal from Brazil was delivered to Idar-Oberstein at the end of the 19th century. To definitively put the theory of the skull's pre-Columbian origins to rest, let us point out that in 2004, experts detected traces of metal tools on their surface, material that was totally unknown to American societies at the time. But one day in 1990, the Smithsonian Institution received an anonymous package containing a skull with a business card. This crystal Aztec skull, believed to have belonged to Mexican President Porfirio Diaz, was purchased in Mexico City in 1960. I offer it to the Smithsonian Institution without compensation. I wish to remain anonymous. Diaz lived between 1830 and 1915. This specimen is the largest of the known skulls. It is 10 inches high and weighs 30 pounds. It is translucent and cloudy. It was subjected to various scientific analyses, which detected, by means of an electron microscope, traces of copper or steel discs that had been used to polish this skull. Carborundum particles were also found by X-ray analysis. Carborundum is a relatively recent synthetic abrasive, having been invented only in 1893 by the American chemist Edward Goodrich Acheson. This skull is therefore not of pre-Columbian origin either. Did it also belong to Eugène Bobin? It is possible, since he died only in 1908. Today, in the 21st century, we can venture to affirm without too much error that the pre-Columbian origin of the skulls exposed in museums is false. It is a deception imagined by the unscrupulous Eugène Bobin, who managed to con collectors and arts institutions all throughout Europe. Some of the skulls, however, remain the property of individuals who continue to feed the pre-Columbian legend. Perhaps the most famous is that of Anna Mitchell Hedges. In 1924, she and her father arrive in Lubatan in British Honduras. Climbing a Mayan pyramid, the young girl sees an object that reflects the light. It's difficult to make out. It has to be pruned through the abundant vegetation. It's thought to be the secret chamber of the pyramid. When the object is finally cleared, Frederick Mitchell Hedges and his daughter admire a magnificent crystal skull and immediately lend it an esoteric dimension. Without doubt, this skull was used for religious ceremonies. The adventurer claims that it's over 3,600 years old and that it was used by Mayan priests during their ceremonies. Frederick Mitchell Hedges did not mention this find until he wrote his autobiography in 1950. It's all the more curious because this was quite the kind of discovery he liked to boast about. Moreover, he was the only witness. He then gave the skull to his daughter, who always refused to have it appraised. What a pity. Nick Nocerino founded the International Society of Crystal Skulls in 1955 in order to research and study all the crystal skulls existing on the planet. He himself owned one called Shanara, discovered in the late 1890s. Although he passed away in 2004, Nocerino remains the authority on crystal skulls. By the end of his life, he owned 9 of them, and he studied them extensively. Shanara has been examined through psychic archaeology, a method taught by Nocerino himself. He stated that the first skull he ever studied was found in Carcassonne, France, during the Second World War. It was not of pre-Columbian origin, since it was that of a Templar. And it belongs to a secret society, of which nobody knows anything. Nick Nocerino was also the founder of the Psychic and Hypnotic Society, and held the first California State Teaching Certificate in Parapsychology and Hypnosis, which he earned in 1968. He taught psychometry, aura reading, mediumship, magnetic healing, elemental magic, and shamanism. One of Nocerino's followers, Norbu Chen, real name Charles Vernon Alexander, claimed also to be a healer and to have met Mexican priests practicing ancient Mayan rites. One of them gave him a crystal skull, nicknamed Max, discovered in the 1920s in a tomb in Guatemala. In 1973, Carl and Joanne Parks consulted this powerful healer of the Tibetan Red Hat cult for their daughter Diana, who was suffering from bone cancer. They claim that thanks to Max the skull, Diana went into remission for 3 years. It is said that Heinrich Himmler, the dreaded head of the SS, owned a crystal skull weighing 20 pounds. It is also said that in 1959, when the Chinese invaded Tibet, some Tibetan monks took a crystal skull named Amar into hiding. They didn't want it to fall into the hands of their oppressors. Indeed, many things have been said and are still said about these crystal skulls. According to some esoteric enthusiasts, the 13 skulls were given to ancient peoples by extraterrestrials. When these extraterrestrials believe that humanity is ready, they will gather the 13 skulls and reveal their mission and the future. Others believe that the day when 12 crystal skulls are gathered in a circle around the 13th, our planet will be saved from certain destruction. Let's hope that doesn't take too long, because at the rate things are going, there will soon be very few humans left on a devastated planet. So, dear aliens, please do gather those crystal skulls and save us. You seem to be the only ones who can still do so. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.